Hi, this is Werewolf the Podcast, and this is your Werewolf Will. We're on episode 144 today. If you'd like to go to our social media things, all the links are down in the description. We also have works of other authors, of this author, and of wonderful people just in general. You can also support the show by buying us a coffee. I need a coffee. I've just run out of gin and tonic. So if you could do that, that would be wonderful. And, you know, reviewing us, I love a good review. I love a really shit review as well, so if you want to do that, that's fine. And I also love just you in general. So please, go and make some sense out of the description links and find us and have fun with us. The Facebook group is ever-growing, and it's full of the weird and wonderful sort of wanderers of the world who are sort of into werewolf lore, and it's, I don't know, something else beginning with W. Anyway, we're getting back to date. I'd learnt that I was one of the others. I'm doing air quotes. You can't see it because I'm not doing the video because I don't want to. The supernatural world of creatures that somehow exist. Well, I'm one of them. I discovered that magic, yeah, magic is a real thing. No, not the card game. Jesus. Yeah, magic, you know, doing spells and shit. It's actually a real thing, and it works because it functions in the same mathematical world as us and stuff, and it's a load of complicated bollocks. I don't understand it really. We just don't know how it works right now. It just does. I'm sure someone will find out, won't they? Anyway, I'd found out that the everyday world was pretty fed up with me and my actions, and had decided that they would now kill me. I had werewolves trying to kill me, vampires trying to kill me, I've got the British government trying to kill me, I've got the American government trying to kill me. Do you know what? There's a lot of people trying to kill me, and it's pretty annoying. It's as though they... Well, it's kind of as though they didn't realise I was a top-line predator and that they were the prey, and that's how it should be. David Attenborough would just let me get on with it, wouldn't he? He wouldn't, like, make a judgment call on my behaviour. The world also had people who specialised in controlling and killing the monsters. Go back and listen to some of the earlier episodes to learn more. I'd met the Professor. He was the world expert in criminal supernatural beings or things. And he really was one of these monster maulers. He worked for the British government to sort stuff out when the weird things did terrible things, and there was even a whole wing of law enforcement ready to swing into action when you, as a beastie, did, like, beastly things. I'd accidentally killed some fairy folk. I didn't know they were fairy folk at the time. They'd been in human form, so I didn't realise that they were incredibly rare fishy people called Nixies, and that they, you know, kept the balance of the waterways and all that, man. How was I supposed to know? They were just some dirty, smelly hippies that I'd killed, so... Anyway, that's where it all started, I think. Then the werewolf tribe got me to go and find a magic spell. Yeah, I don't know how they did it either. You heard that right, a magic spell. A magic spell that can kill the souls of werewolves. Yeah, you know about werewolves, don't you? Like, I'm a werewolf, but I have a werewolf soul called Fen. He's like this separate entity, he's like a ghost and shit. And when we get together, we become the werewolf. Yeah, as I said, I'm not following this stuff myself, but it's all happening. Currently, if you listen to last episode, I've just hit a karaoke bar in a town that was on the edge of the worlds, apparently. All of this had been kind of told to me, so I have no idea how true it was, but if you saw the things that I could see, I think you, well, you're either at a really, really good cosplay stroke LARPing event, or off your mind on some kind of mind-bending hallucinogenics, or, well, hopefully a combination of both. I'd met gnomes, centaurs, minotaurs, and briefly Noel Edmonds. Aye, Noel Edmonds. If you don't know who Noel Edmonds is because you've had a life or you're from a different country, then Noel Edmonds is like a, I don't know, he's like a celebrity that was around in the 80s and did things with children. No, not those kind of things. That was Jimmy Savile. Noel Edmonds turned out to be something called a Gormance, an emotional energy-sucking monster from another dimension. Just the usual, you know. We are, sorry, currently in Phaeton, a place where the weird and wonderful world of magic meets the normal boring world of particle physics, mass and energy. As I said before, I don't get it, but some of you do. I try and understand it, but to be honest, I can't be asked. As long as someone knows why it works, then, well, bully for them, as we say in Britain. Somehow, I still don't get this, but somehow I was singing a duet with a man I knew would soon be trying to probably kill me. Apparently, for some reason, we were mortal enemies, but it didn't feel that way. He was just a lot like me, you know.
Bestial.
I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of his background story in future episodes, but to say this, he was immortal. How did I know he was immortal? Because I'd killed him at least 4 or 5 times, and the bastard had just pinged back into existence, which was super annoying, to be honest, and I had to find a way out to kill him. I really did. Oh, sorry, where was I? The bar. I'm in a bar.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Have you any idea where this is all going, my dear? Asked the Archangel Gabriel. He was as anonymous as an angel can be. He really thought he was doing a fine job fitting into the bar, but he stood out like, well, like an archangel in a room full of horrors. He wore a fine red velvet cloak embroidered with fine gold thread. It slightly enveloped his being, but didn't stop his inner light from glowing like a 40-watt flipping bulb. Okay, that's a really shit description, isn't it? With the light of God, or some shit. I don't know what it was. Holy light or something. But it looked like a 40-watt bulb to me. He was handsome. I know. Angels seem to have to be handsome, don't they? But why? Do they really? I mean, should the heavenly world not be an equal opportunities employer? There should be ugly angels. Should there not? No? You say no? Oh. Oh no. Okay. Well, that is... What is that? Is that... It's not racist. It's lookist. Prettiest. Oh, I don't know. Aestheticist. He had fine marble sculpted features and blonde flowing locks. He wore a suit of 14th century field armour. Yeah? And he made it look comfortable as he relaxed. And he made it look functional as an everyday outfit, when in reality it would be uncomfortable as fuck and ridiculous for everyday wear and almost impossible to take off quickly for a shit. He was drinking something pink in a glass. Yeah, pink. It was definitely pink and cloudy and in one of those fucking weird cocktail glasses. It had a cocktail stick with 2 skewered cherries and one of those shitty little paper umbrella things that there is no reason for at all. It's not raining in the bar, is it? It suited him, though. Of course it did. Most things would suit him, wouldn't it? Because he's such a charismatic cunt. Anyway, the woman next to him was darkness in a humanish form. The body of her absorbed the illumination of the room. It sucked the light into her dark body like a small black hole. Oh, and what a body it was. She was at the moment about 5'5" and dressed in a leather outfit that would have made or been made and created by those who have special fondness for creating leather outfits for those who have a fondness for leather outfits in certain situations related to lust and, well, whips and chains and feathers and all that type of thing. You know. No. Oh, don't try and get me embarrassed. I know the true meaning of fetish. I've met those who choose the chicken and ignore the feathers. I have. That's proper fetish stuff, that is. Leather outfits are nothing in those worlds. What was I describing? Chicken. No, sorry. The outfit of hers. It was black, of course. And shiny, of course. And the right level of tight, of course. It moved over her body like a second skin. Her body was athletic and it, you know, it was all like, you know. Her features were aquiline and beautifully hard. She looked like a queen. She was regal and beyond gorgeous to behold, but frightening. She was one of those women who is a real sphincter twitcher when asking them out. Her eyes were the unhuman bit in the bar, blood red orbs in her head. Didn't put me off though, I have to say, but none of the other things in the room could hold a look from her. None of them would look at her at all. She was Satan. Yeah, Satan out for a drink. Satan out for a drink with an angel. Simple stuff, this fantasy thing, eh? Now, are you getting an idea of what kind of bar this was, in what kind of village? The angel repeated the question that he'd asked. She probably wasn't ignoring him, it was probably the focus on the two people doing the karaoke.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Have you any idea where all this is going? Asked the Archangel Gabriel again.
I've absolutely no idea. It's going to be fun to find out, though. I can't wait to see what happens. It's been so entertaining so far.
She sipped what looked like a simple red wine. It looked like a simple red wine. It was a lot more viscous than a simple red wine, though, and it left a little stain on her lips that may have offered the idea that it was some other liquid than simple red wine. Can I ask, why did you not do something with him while you had him? The angel asked, motioning towards me with his half-empty glass now. She laughed at him.
Well, I think he's much more fun to have here. He's not ready for hell. It's Dad's fault. He expects everyone to feel guilty for the bad things they do. The problem with him...
She now directed a glass of not simple red wine to me singing on stage.
Is that he does not feel that he does anything bad. He doesn't feel that he has anything to be guilty about. Modern philosophers like Nietzsche and his chums have made these guilty evil deeds much more difficult to deal with. It gives things the ideas they can judge something as good or evil by themselves. How stupid.
She took another sip of the liquid in the glass.
Oh, there's a special place in hell for old Freddy Nietzsche.
She spat. Gabriel nodded his approval at this. Yes, this modern thinking thing is becoming a little difficult to deal with, my dear, isn't it? Just complicates things that used to be very straightforward, he agreed. They now listened to the singers as they swayed along with the song.
They're not bad, you know, Gabriel,
said Satan. They're not very good either, are they? Said Gabriel. They both simultaneously found the joke in what they just said and burst into laughter. And then chinked their glasses together as they turned back to the stage. Gabriel's laughter was snorty and her laughter was spiced with little grunts. This drew the attention of the room's residents, but no comments were made about them. After all, they were angels, one bright and holy, one dark and fallen.
Dragon. dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean. Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world in a bold world for me.
As they gather themselves back together, Lucifer noticed someone bump into her hip on her left. This was rude and would require some review. The person was now leaning on the bar and was, well, a kind of version of her. Her outfit was latex and red. There was a long dark ponytail hung down her long back and was only just short of touching the floor. Her body was covered in tattoos that lined the skin and highlighted the musculature that, wow, that could be seen. She was gorgeous, and it took a minute for even the devil to get past how pretty the woman was, and then their eyes met.
Goodness,
said the devil in recognition.
Sammy?
The vampire queen, yeah, the vampire queen, nodded.
Hello, Lucy. How goes it all?
It's been...
The blood goddess ended the sentence.
8,000 years.
Wow, is it that long?
Continued Lucy.
You look amazing.
As you do,
said the beautiful vampire.
I thought you had, you know, been...
Destroyed,
finished the vampire for her.
Yes.
No, you can't kill what is already dead.
At this point, Gabriel, noticing the lack of Lucifer's attention, turned to see who she was talking to.
Who is this? He looks scrumptious,
she added as her eyes bore into his. Lucifer laughed.
Well, this is the Gabriel, you know, God's first and all that,
she told the woman in red. The angel now looked incredibly flustered. It was as if he was trying to organise his thoughts in his head. The appearance of Sammy had smashed those thoughts apart. Ah, Sammy, said the angel, nervously lifting his glass in a salute. The devil laughed. This was unexpected. There was a palpable level of discomfort in the air between these two, and it was great.
Ah, you know each other,
she laughed.
Come on, dish the dirt.
And she was suddenly very interested. Gabriel, on the other hand, well, Gabriel was now flapping, and an angel can really flap. It's the big fuck-off enormous wings that help him flap. He placed his glass on the bar and hurriedly looked at his wrist, where a watch wasn't, but he pretended it was. Oh, goodness me, what will he think of me? Got to go, sorry, said the angel hurriedly, as he disappeared in a flash of light. Sammy and the vampire both now looked at the spot that was not full of angel, a full of angel that once was. The devil slowly turned towards Sammy with a big smile. We would say lugubrious, but it was one of those smiles.
What the hell was all that about? Do you two have a history or something?
The vampire lady smirked. She took a drink from a crystal cut glass.
You could say that,
she said.
You could say that, definitely.
She smiled. Lucifer paused for a moment, hoping that the story would continue, but sadly, the woman kept her eyes on the stage and pretended that were, well, that was the seat of her interest. Somewhat disappointed in not getting the life story, Lucifer changed tacks.
So, Sammy, indulge me. Why are you here? Isn't this a bit rustic for your usual kind of night?
She asked, motioning to the medieval-vibed room. The vampire's purple irised eyes were now focused on the werewolf on the stage. Lucifer followed the stare from those purple iconic eyes to Will, who was with the professor and Fen on the stage as they sang.
Oh. Oh. Oh, this gets so much better.
She said to no one in particular as she laughed, downing the last of her drink and ordering another one.
Oh, come on, Will! Let's get it!
I can't believe I'm enjoying karaoke!
Yeah, we're having it now, aren't we? Come on!
Censors just find this difficult because they feel a little bit hoarse.
Stars when you shine, you know how I feel. Send up the pine.
As all this played out at one part of the bar, a young woman was sitting cross-legged on a bar stool eating three peanuts from a bowl only a few feet away. But in a place as busy as this, it meant that our protagonists, or our antagonists, or our nists of whatever they were, had not seen her and vice versa. This was young Sally O'Neill, a newish werewolf in the world and a former Fen and Will. She sat perched on her place, and next to her was the gigantic white posit wolf soul, Azza. Sally and Azza are, well, a long story in themselves. It all begins with the werewolf and the hitchhiker episodes. It all starts, I suppose, much longer before that, but I would start with those episodes to kind of get the gist if I was you. The hitchhiker episodes, yeah, put them on your list, just like that. Click on Spotify. The drink that she had in her disappointed hand was non-alcoholic, and she laid her other hand across her slightly swollen belly. You know, if it was a film, she'd be sick in the mornings to tell you that she was the first pregnant werewolf in the tribe's history, and the father was currently singing his heart out to the crowd of monsters that were enjoying the Professor and Will's song. Much had changed about Sally over the last few months. Her face was still the beautiful, freckled, you know, one of the past, but the eyes had got a little harder as green emeralds do. She'd been through hard times to find that life had not got any easier. Do you know, I think some of us are born to hard times, and it seemed that young Sally had to carry a really heavy burden when some people like Will, or some werewolves like Will, seemed to carry, well, fucking nothing. She was dressed comfortably in a lumberjack shirt, a pair of baggy jeans, and a pair of Timberland boots. She had on no makeup, and her looks weren't really perfect. I mean, her teeth weren't perfectly pearly white or, you know, quite straight. But to be honest, it only added to the natural beauty that she represented. She was really sort of naturalness portrayed as a human, the complete opposite of Lucifer and the Vampire Queen sitting only feet away. The disparity was palpable, but I suppose both were ideals beyond measure. The vampire energy and Lucifer's energy was dark and offered incense-rich velvet nights, while Sally offered fresh, blossom-scented breezes on a late spring day. There was a delineated bubble of space around Sally in the bar. It wasn't that the bar's residents were afraid of her, it was just that they didn't want to get into her personal space. Her personal space was pretty, well, it was already full. It was saturated with anger. She was fuming at this moment, and the non-inebriated could sense the rage roll off her. Having said this, you might understand why it was an unfortunate moment for an unfortunate drunk kobold to make a more unfortunate drunken passer.
What, darling, do you fancy me doing some mining in your nether regions?
It asked her as it slopped its drink down her leg. I mean, for a kobold, it was a long shot, but you know, if you don't take your shot, you never end up missing and dying in someone else's enraged anger as a result. Her green ice eyes smashed the monsters, and she smiled that smile. It was truly delicious, and she became falsely coy and shy at the creature's interest. The body language proffered and the reality of the situation was very different. He was going to get some. He was going to get something, and that something was mostly going to be fucking terrible. The more astute beings of the room sensed that shit was about to go down, so even more space appeared around the young woman as more anger filled it. Unfortunately, the crusty little kobold should have noticed this, but he didn't.
You wish to delve into my hidden spaces, do you?
She asked the creature, giving him a playful little push. Wow! It couldn't believe its luck. Its mouth opened and it started to nod and slather simultaneously. It heard that human girls were easy, and if you could get past her, fucking disgusting warm skin, warm features and soft body, he would definitely be getting some tonight.
That's what us kobolds are willing to do, miss. Oz is here to explore those places where others fear to tread.
He told her as she giggled coquettishly before stepping off the high stool, raising herself to her full 5'1" gigantic height and getting her head to about the lower chest of her lovelorn Lothario. The kobold raised its glass to a group of its compatriots at the end of the bar and offered a toast to them. A knowing toast was what he thought. He was giving them with a wink. In this case, it was a complete unknowing toast. Unknowing Sally, or trying to get to know Sally, was a mistake. Little did he know his mates had set him up for this. That's kobolds for you. I think it's mining. It gives you a dark sense of humour. And Draken, yeah, his name was Draken, had been annoying them all night. So they were trying to, feed him to the werewolf for a laugh. Getting ripped to pieces in public would quite literally teach him a lesson in humility.
Do you know what?
She said to the small mail-clad monster as she ran a finger down his chest, following it with her eyes to just above his belt line. It gulped in response.
No!
The frog-like thing responded.
I think I'm gonna...
The werewolf's soul as her stood up next to her and shook. They were about to transform, into a werewolf and murder the kobold. Suddenly, one of the beautiful bar staff snaked a hand over the bar and caught Sally by the wrist, which threw Sally off for a moment. She turned angrily to the touch. Eye contact was established between them, and the bar steward pointed a perfect finger at the sign on the wall with a silhouette of a werewolf raging on it, and over the top a circle with a line through it. Under the image was, I suppose, the instruction that this sign was supposed to represent in several languages. No transforming in the public bar, it read. The staff member shrugged the shrug of sorry. Management decided these things and smiled again to see if Sally understood. Sally, she frowned in disappointment.
Okay.
She smiled and nodded and mouthed out loud as she turned back to the monster and kicked it with a full force Timbaland boot in the area that, in most creatures, would contain the centre of their respective worlds. The kobold went down in a personal world of agony and confusion as Sally kept kicking with inherent joy at what was now a ball of kobold on the floor.
And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I feel so good. So good. Wonderful! Come on!
At the end of the bar, the kobold's friends started cheering and shouting their down friend's name.
Draken! Draken! Draken!
A disturbance in the crowd stopped Simon and I. It had kicked off, and many new things quickly became apparent to us. Number one was that Lucifer Morningstar was standing at the bar watching some poor creature get the kicking of its life on the floor. I recognise that kind of kicking. That was a proper Scottish kicking that was going on, and it was being handed out deftly. Number two was that Lucifer stood with the Sumerian goddess. Ah, shit. The female vampire had many issues with in the past. That was not a good sign, but they were both enjoying the vicious beating being liberally given out, and it meant that they didn't seem very interested in me. Phew. And number three was, oh, that my little Sally was having a fist fight with a... The fuck is that? A kobold? Strangely, she was doing this in her tiny human form, causing that normally large, vicious killer of a creature many fucking problems. As I watched, the kobold struggled to its feet under tremendous stress and somewhat in a daze. As it raised its grizzled jaw, she punched it so hard that it span on the foot, and as it turned away, she leapt onto its back, sinking in a rear-naked choke around its neck whilst biting deeply and wrenching back and forth with her teeth into its left ear. It screamed! Cheers erupted Yay! From the crowd as bets started to be laid. I must admit it was an element of pride that I saw the little lassie destroying the beast. It was actually a bit scary to watch, to be honest, as at one point our eyes met and her mouth tore away part of the creature's flesh from its head, which she then spat as a bloody gobbet on the floor. She briefly gave me a bloody smile and then went back to biting the poor screaming creature again with animal ferocity. Fenn, the professor, and I stood drunkenly at the front of the stage and watched. Well, this was getting even more interesting. The fight was now spreading, as they often do in these situations. Someone had then jostled someone, which then turned into someone being pushed, and then someone being smacked, and then a punch or two had been thrown, and it was now kicking off. It was turning into a proper saloon brawl from those 50 westerns. I mean, I expected John Wayne to walk in and drag some unfortunate person down the length of the bar on his face without spilling his own beer in the process. I have to admit, I was content with just watching. Finn and I often just like to watch violence as much as we like being part of it. It's kind of one of those voyeuristic things we do. What I wasn't ready for was the...
Tally-ho!
Shout from the professor next to me as he dived off the stage and disappeared in the fight. Ah, shit. I rolled my sleeves up looking for someone small to hit first. Here we go. And I followed him swinging. Thanks for listening. That was episode 144. Go down to the description. Go follow the links. Go join us on all social media platforms. Go review us. Do things. You're wonderful. We love you.